Chapter 10. Socializing Your Family Office. Carve your name on hearts, not tombstones. A legacy is etched in the minds of others and the stories they share about you. Shannon L. Alder. Build a HUI. Investing can feel like a solitary game, but the truth is, a good investor is only as strong as their team and investment community. My journey began as a college graduate in 2007. I became an accredited investor by 2015. I attribute my delay in achieving this milestone to my lack of interaction with others. In my defense, I didn't know anybody who was an accredited investor. After all, my parents didn't have millions, and at the time, none of my friends or family did either. It's almost impossible to find other people investing in these country club deals. It was hard enough to find others who owned multiple rental properties, remotely too, and viewed finances, debt, and investing through the same lens that I did. However, a shift occurred when I started engaging with fellow accredited investors. This interaction opened my eyes. Up until then, I had been purchasing single-family homes, yet I had never encountered individuals who had acquired such properties remotely without physically visiting them, let alone amass more than just a few. Of course, I later found another level of investors who ditched the rentals for more passive, limited partner LP holdings. Countless hours of daydreaming during my day job and diligent saving to acquire the next rental property were externally validated. This realization marked my aha moment when I ignited my drive even more. This is the rationale behind our live events to create opportunities for new investors to meet others riding the wealth elevator. Without these experiences with others, I believe my investors fail to comprehensively grasp the wealth elevator concepts. You might intellectually understand all that you're reading in this book, but the true sense of this occurs when you connect with other first-gen investors engaging in these innovative wealth-building activities. As the saying goes, we are profoundly influenced by the company we keep. In this chapter, I share how you can grow a community, a HUI, of investors. I explain how our mastermind evolved, how to socialize a family office, the limits of networking, and how to plan an endgame. Our HUI of investors. In 2016, I created a podcast to talk about my investment journey. By 2023, the podcast, The Wealth Elevator, was rated 5 stars with more than 1 million downloads. When I started the podcast, I was transitioning into an accredited investor. I was getting rid of my little rental properties and going into larger syndications. I didn't talk about that process on the podcast until a couple of years later in 2018, when I was confident I had made the right decision to go into syndications. The first few years of my transition were slow. I visited the local real estate clubs in Seattle and went to a bunch of national conferences, but I never found them useful. Most of the people I met at those events were non-accredited people flipping houses or low net worth non-professionals looking for a way to get rich quick in the plethora of guru education groups. I was on my own, completely isolated, but a strange thing happened. The podcast that I started gained a lot of traction. People emailed me to connect. Without realizing it, we were building a HUI. People closest to me know I'm one of the biggest introverts out there. I prefer to build strong relationships with people I work with. Perhaps this was influenced by the Hawaiian culture of the community and working together. As I said before, it's where the term HUI comes from. It's pretty much what's it like living in Hawaii. You are part of the community with the Aloha spirit. In this spirit, I created our investment mastermind called the Family Office Ohana Mastermind, FOOM for short. As of early 2023, the FOOM group had more than 110 members. This sense of community also shapes our HUI Deal Pipeline Club for investors who want to invest alongside us. By 2023, we had well over 800 individuals who had invested $50,000 to $100,000 or more in a deal with us. The crazy thing is that our group has collectively raised over $200 million, which rivals the largest venture capital-backed crowdfunding websites out there. And the coolest thing is we've distributed well over $45 million out to investors so far. When we throw events like our annual Hawaii retreat or a pop-up mixer, all the attendees are screened, so I know every single person there. We do not have any shady random people we can't verify coming off the street attending our events. It is the complete opposite of the experience of a traditional conference or seminar, where they let in any Joe Blow who will pay to attend. to eventually upsell to a higher dollar program. At the bare minimum, we want to create a safe environment. More importantly, we want to get to know you so we can work with people we can trust, people who will join us on the wealth elevator and strive together towards our common financial goals. As you rise up the wealth elevator, the other investors who ascend the floors become a part of your HUI and investment journey. The higher you go, the more critical these relationships become. Creating synergies with others gives you investment strategies and opportunities, which can greatly multiply your net worth. Think of it this way. Net worth distribution looks like a pyramid, with the majority of investors at the bottom and fewer wealthy individuals as you move up. Therefore, for a mathematical perspective, it becomes increasingly challenging to meet individuals with higher net worth as you ascend. Based on our observations of numerous clients, we see our members increase their camaraderie and connections when progressing through the stages of the wealth elevator. How to socialize your family office. The title of this chapter is Socializing Your Family Office. What does it even mean? This isn't about networking. It isn't just about giving back. It's about creating a sustainable investing strategy that doesn't happen in a vacuum. It's about building social connections that strengthen you over the long term as economic conditions change, tax codes are rewritten, and the GP operator groups come and go. When you take the wealth elevator, it doesn't stop at money. It guides you in the entire scope of your investing journey from wealth to legacy and beyond. A lot of people book that first intro onboarding call with me or take part in one of our retreats with very straightforward objectives. I like to call them firecrackers because as soon as they step foot inside the wealth elevator, they fire off 1,000 questions. That is totally understandable because the curriculum is a real disruptor to conventional wealth building. New investors want to do due diligence on me and my team. Are the investments as good as he says? Do the tax strategies work? Is everything they're talking about legit? Who's your CPA? Are they going to run off to Mexico with my money? I get it. We were all there at one time, but I love to watch how these people interactions change once they're acclimated with our ecosystem. Inevitably, after they have interacted with more experienced investors and successfully implemented an alternative investment portfolio, they reach an inflection point. They learn where they're aligned and they find people who are on the same trajectory. They move through space as participants instead of as sponges soaking up energy. It stops being about what other investors can do for them and becomes what they can do for each other. That's why I love the term socializing. Networking to me is all about objectives. It's what those firecrackers are trying to do for themselves. Socializing, on the other hand, is a bit more lighthearted, more of a two-way conversation. It has a long-term focus on relationships. You start to understand people's values and what they're trying to accomplish, so you can add value to them and their goals. Eventually, these individuals become the ones you confide in to answer your questions about self-actualization, and specifically, when is enough enough? Why family office? Why do I call each individual investor a family office? Your end goal is to have so much wealth that you need to employ a set of professionals to manage your wealth, a bookkeeper, an investment manager, even someone to track down deals. A lot of investors compare themselves down, contrasting themselves with the average person who has less than a few million dollars in net worth. That makes them complacent. By comparing up to your eventual goal of being the $100 million net worth family office or getting to the penthouse, you level up your game. I tell most people in our mastermind who give it enough time that their net worth will grow to the eight-figure level and above. To properly socialize your family office, you want to think about both the short-term and long-term. Short-term, if you socialize your family office, you avoid shysters who will steal your money or use your money to power their fake it till they make it start. If you play the modern social media roulette game and just go on iTunes, YouTube, Instagram, fake review sites and find some people to invest with, you're probably going to lose money on one of every five of those deals. Where do I get my data? The first 15 deals I went in as a investor, I stepped on three of those landmines right there. So that's where I get my data, one out of five. By interacting with people who are purely passive accredited investors, you hear real unsolicited feedback and referrals and get away from the unsophisticated groupthink. If you think good deals are hard to find out there, or just going to crowdfunding websites, which is just the deals out there that can't get funded, Trust me, the problem is your lack of socialization. Most of us accredited investors have too many deals with one or two dropping in our inboxes every week. If you are not yet interacting with others at your level, reach out to team@thewealthelevator.com for a free syndication LPE course. It will empower you with the prerequisite information to interact with other purely passive accredited investors. The last thing I want for you to do is come to one of our events and not know this basic information and waste everybody's time. To be quite honest, you have to know a prerequisite amount of information out there to be able to talk shop with people. That said, most of our folks in our community are pretty cool. We like to have a good time. We like to help each other out, but just do the e-course, guys. Long term, you probably noticed that a lot of the tax strategies in this book involve having a CPA you trust, one who is willing to get creative with you to save money. That means having a team you trust to help you over the long term. You want to build relationships that will be with you for your entire investing journey. That can mean your team, but it can also mean the other investors you work with. I have clients whom I met just 3 years ago, but it feels like I've known them forever. We are aligned in the same trajectory. We also share the same values. One common example is how many of us used to be frugal savers, but have transitioned to using our money to buy experiences. We want to build a family legacy to pass on to future generations. We are big on spouses and or our adult children becoming involved, coming to events, and building relationships within the group. By surrounding ourselves with other accredited, wealth-conscious investors, we absorb best practices and mindsets. This flows through to how our families are raised and how we interact with each other and how we do business. Elevators go both ways. One of the things I love about the wealth elevator metaphor is that the elevators go both ways. You can send the elevator back down for others. You can help others at no cost to yourself. When you do, everyone benefits. It makes life richer. When you have all the passive income you need, you discover why relationships are the currency of the wealthy. In my multi-day retreats, we have a valuable exercise to set the tone. We pair new members with senior members who answer the questions and offer mini mentoring during the session. We believe in sending the elevator back. We know the senior investors will remember when, not so long ago, they were in that new person's shoes. Senior investors can anticipate questions new investors have about taxes, syndications, and the alternative mindset of the wealth elevator investors. I also like to explain things using my different zany metaphors because I believe the biggest block to success is unlearning the bad habits and old myths that we're all taught about how finances worked. When you're doing well in the penthouse, it's your turn to send the wealth elevator down to someone else. This can be your way to leave this world a little bit better than you found it. As you listen to others ask questions in their own words, you start to better understand the investment path you have chosen for yourself. Networking debunked. Have you heard the expression, your network is your net worth? That's only as true as the quality of your network. If you go to a newbie event, like the local RIA, everyone else there is a newbie. How does it help you to make connections with a bunch of people who don't know any more than you do? Plus, those people are in the basement or floor one, trying to get themselves established. They want to put their own oxygen mask on first. You're better off working on your investing strategy or getting to accredited status first. This is why we have a minimal requirement for people to be accredited or near accredited at our in-person events. What I am about to say may come across as elitist, but your time and life energy is very important. The brutal truth is that if you are already on floor two or above, connecting with those who are on the lower floors is a waste of time. The one exception is if they're moving on a high trajectory and they would be good connections for your kids. A lot of people get overwhelmed with the amount of advice out there, but they're not talking to accredited investors. Those experts filling their heads with conflicting information haven't succeeded using any of these strategies. Worse, some of those people are living the FIRE goals or the millionaire next door mentality based on the best-selling book by Thomas J. Stanley. They think they're doing well, but they're comparing themselves to the wrong people. That makes them mistakenly think that they found success, whereas you are looking for abundance and a higher quality lifestyle. And while we're on the topic, I'll just share that my big thing about the FIRE movement, you know, I think it's great to live under your means, but the second half of that journey for the FIRE movement folks is to just fade off into oblivion with their index fund account and really not to do anything. What I'm trying to preach for folks in our community to do is blast past $4 to $5 million, have a great life for you and your family, but also have enough to create change and, you know, difference in the world for other people. And to do that, lots of times I believe money becomes that mechanism to make that type of change. And that type of change is different for everybody out there. And that's obviously the wealth elevator is my way of leaving the world a little bit better than I found it. You are going to have to think of your way of impacting the world. But hey, let's get you to accredited status and beyond, or get you past that penthouse level for now. To find the right events, look for ones where nobody is selling anything. At our accredited investor events, people are looking to build relationships with people who provide value to them. We don't have speakers or sponsors trying to sell stuff. Also, except for selling their single family home rentals to move up to syndications, none of the attendees are selling anything to anybody. If they are, we remove them to create the safe environment we want. That's one half of the networking puzzle. The other half is making yourself someone of value. Socializing is a two-way street. If you're clueless about what a syndication is or what a preferred rate of return is, for example, you're not going to be able to hang intellectually with the kinds of investors who are looking to vet deals or swap tax strategies. What is an accredited investor? An accredited investor makes more than $200,000 in annual income or owns more than $1 million in assets, excluding the home they live in. If you're still moving towards that goal, go to thewealthelevator.com/turnkey for a free remote rental e-course on where to get started. That said, accredited investor status is much less of an important factor than passive investors think. The truth is that the majority of deals around 90 to 97% accept non-accredited investors. These are called 506B offerings. And all you need to take part is to be connected to the right network of sponsors or operators. There's no shame in starting at the bottom. Most of our investors are building first-generation wealth, but there is shame in trying to climb out of the basement using an escape ladder instead of waiting for the wealth elevator. That's what you're doing when you follow the normal financial advice out there. And if you get my drift, I get frustrated when I see some of the younger folks out there who are under $1 million net worth doing things like funding their retirement accounts and buying houses to live in when they should be investing in higher yielding investments and getting the tax benefits that way. Build your ecosystem. Up to this point, we've talked a lot about your colleagues. It's important to remember that your ecosystem also includes a whole lot of other people you will need. A lot of books and podcasts targeting lower net worth individuals tell you, go out and find your CPA, your attorney, and the people you're going to invest with before you ever start investing. The problem with that is that you don't know who is doing things the way the wealthy do things. You have no working concept, and people are so proficient with marketing these days that it's extremely hard for a new person to separate the sophisticated service providers from good marketers. Although this is a bit of a chicken and egg paradigm, I urge you to get educated first, so you are empowered to build your team. That said, if you want to cheat and copy answers, what some of us did to get by in school, we can connect you with referrals we have worked with in the past too. Side note on that, going back to that first floor of the wealth elevator where, you know, a lot of you folks will skip over buying little rental properties and go straight to syndications and private placements. But another reason why I like some of you guys have younger adult children to go out and buy that first rental is it allows them to interact with good and bad vendors out there and develop their own BS detector and do it in a form where they have the ability to make mistakes. And maybe they do pick a bad property manager. Maybe they do have a real estate broker or mortgage lender that just tells them some bad advice and they find out later. I really think that helped me on my investment journey. And I think that's something that it's invaluable for somebody to pick up, especially somebody as important as your own children, to ultimately take over the throne of the legacy that you've started. Define your end game. When you're on the third floor and considering moving up to the penthouse, it helps to have people to talk to who have gone through similar experiences. At our in-person and virtual events, members in our Family Office Ohana Mastermind, FOOM, meet to discuss strategy and balance the goals of lifestyles that define their endgame. When it comes to passing on wealth for those nearing their endgame, our group consensus is that liquidity and traditional investments are the best approach, not the alternative investments that got us to floor 3 or the penthouse. It ensures simplicity and ease in transferring wealth to future generations who may not possess the same level of sophistication or the same kind of network. Knowledge transfer, financial education, rather than monetary asset wealth transfer, makes this transition as smooth as possible. Think about it. Sure, you could split up your $8 million estate to your 2 kids with $4 million each. But I would argue that $1 or $2 million per kid is plenty. Without the knowledge and network to grow it, any more money might even be detrimental. It causes the onset of entitlement and other common forms of degeneration of family wealth. Basically, a trust fund kid. Aspirational assets. Our FOOM members candidly share their legacy issues. One question that often comes up is family vacation homes that you want to pass down to the next generation. Owning an asset like this can be a significant headache. For instance, your heirs need to maintain cash reserves to cover taxes, repairs, maintenance, and other associated costs. If the estate doesn't have a sophisticated governance system in place to handle these operations, and especially if the estate has multiple beneficiaries, disputes and complications can arise. In other words, all the cousins and brothers and sisters are going to fight each other, and it's going to create more problems than good. In cases like that, managing a traditional or curated alternative investment portfolio is more advantageous than holding on to these aspirational investments and the brain damage they create. It can be more beneficial to invest your money and generate significant cash flow and net worth growth. Then you can shift your mindset to enjoying your wealth. This next example may stretch your thinking, but stay with me. Let's say you have $3 million in assets. When you go on vacation, you might consider treating yourself to upscale hotels like the Four Seasons or high-end boutique hotels. That can actually be cheaper in the long run if a high-end hotel costs $1,000 per day and you stayed there literally every day. That would amount to $30,000 per month. If you have $3 million invested, earning a 12% annual return, you could live in a hotel every day without touching your capital. Of course, this may not align with how you wish to allocate your funds, but hey, you get a sense of how you have choices. Investor first mindset. If you got a ton of money, you can afford to make mistakes. You can just try out deals and operators until you find ones you like. Most of us don't have that luxury. We need an investor first mindset. The hardest part of socializing your family office is getting out of your comfort zone, but it's worth it. I joke a lot with investors who have been with me a long time that I was friends with them when they were broke, under $1 million. But it's true that a lot of satisfaction happens when you go through the journey of venturing up the floors together. One day, you will be there with your cohort in the penthouse and on the rooftop looking down, encouraging everyone who's rising behind you. I took the hard knocks and worked with the wrong people when I first started. Today, as a general partner and sponsor of deals, I vow to always treat my investors with honesty and loyalty. We always put passive investors first. But if not for the many investors collectively as a HUI, we would have not had the reputation in our investor community to access great opportunities that are otherwise accessible to only institutional players. What happens when you achieve institutional wealth at the rooftop level? That's the subject of the next chapter. I wanted to close out this chapter and just defining a family office. It's a term that is used to describe a family that has created a very large net worth. Let's just call it $100 million net worth and beyond. And it usually has multi-generations in it. A lot of you guys reading this book are likely the first or second generation. What I'm talking about and what I've interacted with in the past is families who've already hit that third, fourth generation and beyond, and has grown their net worth as opposed to blown it like how most people out there do. Basically, what I'm trying to do here is emulate what those higher net worth families do. We operate deals and we bring in all types of investors. And from time to time, we'll cross paths with these family office investors. And it'll typically be their representative, as most family offices gets to a point where, as I said in the last chapter, they'll hire out all their financial people, their investment managers, their underwriters, and they get to a point where everything is on autopilot. Unfortunately, you're not there yet. And I would say this is oftentimes the hardest place, at least from my perspective, seeing the spectrum of family office and institutional level type of investors. They've got professional people working on their behalf, many of which who super smart guys who went to college, PhD guys working for them. Whereas what we are trying to do is get to that level, but having to do this all ourselves. And we can't hire a staff of multiple six-figure guys to work our own money. That just doesn't make sense. And that's why I always say the best way is to build relationships with other people along the way and crowdsource the information and the connections within your own family office, which is why you have to socialize and get out there and meet other people.